Greetings, everybody. Peter, the Angelpreneur Ortman here. Welcome to episode 2602 of the Agentis Pulse audio podcast series. It's August the 23rd, 2026. The opening sound clip is that of Reggae Vibes, and they're off of YouTube. You can catch them. I just like the music. It kind of puts me in the right mood, and it's a great way to start or end a day like tonight. And I started this podcast series earlier this month out on August 9th to make a very special announcement, a short 10-minute, or actually it was probably like 8 minutes. And I wanted to thank the few of you who reached out afterwards to comment. I appreciate your thoughts and comments. August 9th, 2005 has a very special meaning to me and this project that I'm building. It was the day our family and I lost my granddaughter Marissa to a flash flood in Carefree, Arizona at the age of 7. Remember that number, 7. That tragedy ultimately inspired this 21-year journey I've been on that led me here. And of course, over the years, that project has grown into what I sometimes refer to as the mother of all startup projects. And though everything has changed a lot over the years, we've developed things, reorganized, changed company names and logos and ideas. We've added a few, discarded others. There's one part of the project that has never changed, nor will it ever change. Marissa is still the heart of the entire APVG Club Zero ecosystem project. Agentis Interactive will become the brain, and Club Zero Rewards will become the body that brings it all to life. That's probably the simplest explanation I've ever given it, for what I'm trying to build here. You know, the heart gives it the purpose. The brain provides the intelligence that connects everything together. And the body is where all of those ideas become something people can actually experience, participate in, and hopefully enjoy. And if you've looked at everything we're working on and thought, Petey, this thing has gotten, like, really big. And you're right, it has. So today, sitting here in my pool in the afternoon on a Sunday, under the shade after yet another 106-degree August day here in Las Vegas, I thought I'd spend some time bringing you up to date on exactly what I've been doing the past 3 months. We've changed a lot. Why we're still, not fully launched and where I think we're going, I need to just kind of share with you where we're at. Now, it's early. My audience is obviously not that big, but I've been a little busy the past 3 months, to say the least, and I wanted to share it with you. So I'm working from an outline today so I can kind of cover the elements that I wanted to share with you. I'm recording this on my iPhone, so there's no big production value here. So if you hear a little bit of water in the background, that's most likely my pool. And frankly, in August, this is, probably one of the smarter places to be in Las Vegas in the heat, because it's hot here. I mean, since June 1st, just to give you an example, we've had over 67 days over 100 degrees, with 20 of them over 110. In fact, June, the average temperature was 101 degrees. It's insane. It's really, really hot. I can't recall it being this hot before, but it's a smoker here. So the pool feels great. For those of you who have been listening to, you know, all my projects or followed me over the years, you know that what I'm basically talking about here. And you know that my audience is a relatively small group currently because I've kept everything pretty much under wraps. August 9th, I started exposing it more publicly via the podcast series here, which today is probably the first time I'm going to really share a little bit more in depth of what we're doing. Now, we're doing a lot of things to the website I'll explain in a second. However, I thought it was just time to simply catch everybody up because I've got, I mean, the people are calling me now, and I have a lot of people who want to come join our team, and it's getting a little hectic. So it's no big production value here today, no elaborate presentation. It's not a sales pitch. I'm not out to, you know, win any awards or, you know, become podcaster of the year. I'm really not even at all interested in any of that. One day soon, the audio, of course, and then later the video podcasts also will have a lot more production value once I bring teams on board that can spend their time doing that. I'm kind of scattered in a lot of different directions these days, getting all the pieces of the puzzle put together. So this is just an update from me personally as founder CEO about what I and my team, my small team, have been working on, what's changed, why we've been delayed, where, you know, we're going to go next, and maybe a few things that you might be interested in, maybe not, because quite a lot has happened over the last several months. And I think one of the problems with a project of this scale is that from the outside, it can look like nothing is happening. You visit a website, you see a date move, maybe you see a few logos changed or added. You may see another company appear, or even see, you know, something disappear, and you probably think, what is this guy doing? I mean, and it's a fair question. The answer is a lot. The day starts for me about 6 a.m. and ends about 6 p.m., 6 days a week, and sometimes 7 days a week. My wife has seen more of the back of my head than the front of my face because I'm constantly working on the phone, developing ideas, reviewing pages, creating art. There's just a lot going on. And, of course, I'm the one, the primary architect of this entire ecosystem, so I have to be involved in pretty much everything. But it's time to get things launched now, and one of the immediate examples will be ReShark Apparel and Accessories. Of course, Agentis is already underway, and we're building the systems to drive the basic project. But now the various other pieces of the puzzle are coming together. ReShark Apparel is one of the first groups because it will become our exclusive logo-branded merchandising, you know, operation. This week, I'm attending the ASD Market Week here in Las Vegas. And that's really the beginning of taking ReShark Apparel from concept and artwork into the supplier production world. You know, the beauty about being in Las Vegas is that we have a lot of trade shows and conventions, and it's a great place to absorb a tremendous amount of information. And probably I wouldn't be anywhere close to this where I am today if it hadn't been for a lot of the conventions and industry trade shows like CES and all these other shows that come to Vegas because I live here. So it's easy for me to get in and out of. And I've learned a lot. And, of course, combine that with AI, you know, artificial intelligence, and things like ChatGPT and Gemini and countless other large language models, you can really start putting things together. I spent a lot of time preparing for this ASD show because I'm looking for partnerships with suitable manufacturers or vendors of premium hats and visors first, because you'll see there's a lot of reasons why we're going to be doing a lot of hats and stuff. And, of course, then later on we'll follow that with shirts and apparel and promotional merchandise and all the other logo-branded products that we're going to need throughout the ecosystem. And that's not just one logo. I mean, we have well over 50 logos and concepts and things over the next couple of years that will grow into perhaps a large merchandising company in and of itself. Now we have, you know, Club Zero and Agentis and APVG, the Clear Blue Oceans Foundation, Dream Stream Network, BizWorks, and of course projects like Marissa's Reef and the Spirit Fish Initiative. We just have a lot going on. Our travel brands, affinity groups, and a growing collection of other organizations and programs, some of which I'll share with you today you haven't even heard of yet. So when I sit down with a manufacturer or supplier this week, I'm not going in there saying, can you make me 500 hats? I'm saying, let me show you the customer potential that you're looking at, and I want the best deals. I want quality products, U.S. made preferably, and I'm going to definitely strive for that even at a higher cost. And that's a very different conversation. They will come to know me quickly, and of course, Reef Shark Apparel as well. Of course, I'm looking for somebody to run that whole company, and you know, hopefully I'm talking to a couple people, but we'll see how it all works out. You know, we want to develop long-term solid relationships with selected manufacturers and vendors, and rather than running around buying products, you know, we want to work with a company that knows what they're doing. And for apparel, again, I'm particularly interested in working with Made in the USA. That's my primary function. I want U.S.-made products whenever possible. And we're going to be looking at private labeling, Reef Shark tags, and all the hats and shirts and what we do to create our own brand, if you will. And, of course, other merchandise may come from qualified offshore manufacturers when we're ready, if it makes business sense. But the point is that we're now starting to move from designing the company's, you know, various divisions and elements into actually making the company an operational entity. That's an important transition. And that's happening in other parts of the ecosystem too, by the way. I'm talking with, you know, potential partners right now and interviewing people for leadership positions. I'm looking for teammates, again, who don't want just a job, but actually want to take on the responsibility for building and eventually running some of these businesses that I've developed. I call them intrapreneurs. Those are the people with the passion of building a business, but without the risk or the need to fund them. So you can understand that ultimately, that's a full-time job in and of itself, right? So we'll see how it goes over the next couple of weeks here as I start bringing some people on board. Because the reality is, you know, I can design a company, I can develop the business model, I can build websites and the systems and connect the pieces, but I can't personally run every one of these companies, nor should I. I'm more of the conductor of this well-structured business orchestra, and of course, all the businesses serve more or less as the instruments of this orchestra. And my job is to make sure that they all play the same song and make successful music, so to speak. So I'm finally beginning to look for people who can actually take an ownership position, if you will. I'm not asking them to invest money, but you know, treat it like their own company, build the businesses collectively under a common vision. People who can build Reef Shark Productions, not just Reef Shark Apparel, but also the Dream Stream Network. I need people who understand media, who understand how to make these things happen, but have the passion that they've always wanted a business. Now I'm going to give them the opportunity, and hopefully they become a very important element, because all these companies have to work together, right? And that's what makes the whole thing really unique. And certainly, I'm also looking for people to help me run and develop Club Zero Rewards, which is really the big kahuna, if you will, in the entire ecosystem, which is, you know, intended to become basically the primary operating business within the entire ecosystem. And it's going to take somebody who really understands how to pull all those elements together. That's where all the travel rewards and the travel programs and the cruises and the BitZero's reward currency and all of those functions take place in Club Zero, as you'll discover on the website. That's where, you know, all of this starts becoming less than, you know, just my project, and a lot more about building a leadership team and a community. And finding those people may be one of the hardest parts of everything I'm doing. because I can certainly, like I said, design all this stuff, but it's not easy finding qualified people who want to actually make it happen. Now, we'll see how it all works out. I understand that what, you know, we're doing here is not easy, and it's not easy for everybody to understand, but, you know, I want to find people who say, understand what you're doing and where you're going, and let me help you build it. That's the kind of attitude I'm looking for. So that's a big difference. There's, you know, an intrapreneur who can share in the profits of each of their divisions as well. Anyway, another thing I've been doing is looking at offices around Summerlin here in Las Vegas, the western part of Las Vegas, near the Red Rock area, if you're familiar with Vegas. And a beautiful area. It takes you like 30 minutes to get to the Strip from here. But we have our eyes on a couple of really good prospects, and I'm hopefully going to, you know, decide here soon. None of it is cheap, by the way. It's very expensive. But it could really serve us long term, and we could do a lot of great things there. And I'm also looking at retail locations for our proposed Club Zero Welcome Centers, which have become a real key part of the whole Club Zero Rewards program. I'm looking at one down on the Las Vegas Strip, one in our corporate offices, so we'll have two here in Vegas. And I'm also looking at a third opportunity near the Newport Coast, California. These are two very different markets, but together they're very important because we're going to be very active in Southern California, the Newport, Orange County, Southern California market, and the Las Vegas market, because a lot of our visitors come up the I-15 here. So, you know, Las Vegas has the benefit of about 35 to 40 million tourists a year. And having a club facility on the Strip and one in Newport is going to be very important in building our membership. And, you know, the Welcome Center concept, by the way, is something very unique. And I'm particularly excited about it because I want that whole thing to become more experiential. I don't want everything to be purely online or inside an app. You know, I want people to be able to walk into a Club Zero Welcome Center, where we're also going to incorporate one of our signature Tropical Reef Travel Cafes, which is a professional travel agency combined with a baguette about it food brand, you know, with coffee, beer, and wine. And it's just a comfortable place where members and travelers can connect and actually spend some time, kind of like a Club Zero clubhouse, if you will. And here's what I think is really going to be interesting, because we're working on putting together a partnership with a cruise line, luxury, perhaps ultra-luxury cruise line partner, and we're going to build two full-size luxury cruise ship cabin mock-ups inside our welcome centers, because I believe the oceans are important in what we're doing. I believe in luxury cruising. I'm not one of those cruisers that needs 3, 4, 6, 7,000 people on a ship. That's not fun for me. And of course, I'm getting older, so I like the quiet time, the ocean, sea days. I like the luxury environment. So I'm going to center this around the luxury cruise circuit, and once we put together a package with a luxury cruise line. And right now on our website, we modeled out a 50-day, four cruise legs connected for a total of 50 days using the itinerary from an Explorer Journeys. Beautiful ships, and we're looking at maybe working with Explorer Journeys, and we've got two other cruise lines. But for modeling purposes, we showed that as an example, and I want to be very clear, we've had no conversation, we have no agreements with any of these cruise lines yet, and we're actually just getting that whole process started, probably starting later this week. So, you know, it's relatively new. You're hearing it for the first time here. On the website, you'll see the cabin configuration, you'll see the 50-day schedule, because we're doing this because it's part of our survey, and you'll have to become a member of the Agentis Club for free. I'll explain that in a minute, to get access to all of that. Now, I want to also emphasize, again, the word is proposed. There is no guarantee that the cruise lines currently featured on the website will ultimately decide to partner with us, But we created the model basically to test the economic likely discount potential using the club model and to gauge whether people are even going to be interested in that type of cruising. You're going to love the ship. I start out with Explorer 3, which is a new one that just released and started this month in August. And they're going to have Explorer 4, 5, and 6. They're all identical ships, and this is important for us under our plan, because when we model a cruise cabin, if we have a line that has equal or similar ships in the pipeline, then those cabins stay consistent. And when you can walk in, and I'm talking all the way down to experiencing the entire layout, the type of bed, the towels, you're going to walk into a mock-up that is exactly like the suite you're going to walk into on the ship. And I think there's something there that's always been missing in the cruise industry. You don't really know what you're getting. You see pictures and brochures, and that's great. But until you experience it, you don't really understand it. But if you could walk through a suite and say, oh my God, this is so beautiful. Yes, I can live here for 7 days, 10 days, 30 days, whatever. You're going to book that cruise. You're going to book it with us under our group plan. And we're going to keep a lot of cabins full long term. And it's going to be exciting. It's kind of a unique little thing. But that's part of the Travel Cafe concept. And, of course, you can decide all that over a glass of wine or a beer. Now, maybe, we're going to see, we're going to also have these cruise ambassadors on board. So, anyway, I won't get into any more details about that just yet. Okay? Basically, it's a place where members can meet other members, where somebody can basically watch a presentation on a resort destination or a cruise or whatever. We'll have monitors playing travel concept or travel programming throughout, which is part of our DreamStream network concept, where you'll be able to see actual destination reviews, cruise reviews. So we're going to have a lot of content. It's going to be a fun place to go and just relax, have lunch or maybe dinner. And the markets, of course, Vegas, with all of its tourists, and Newport will be the perfect place to do all of that. Ultimately, I want these centers to be places where the digital Club Zero ecosystem becomes a real-world human experience. And that matters to me more than you think, because, as much as I believe in AI, and obviously I'm building an entire company around intelligent technology, humanoids, and other things, I also believe something just as strongly, and that is people are still going to want to connect with people. Sometimes, we're going to want to, put the phone down and walk through the door, sit across from another human being, a friend, a family member, whatever, and say, okay, hey, where should we go? Where should we go travel? Because the experience I want in the Welcome Centers is exactly that. And that's really one of the reasons I wanted to record this update, because most people are busy and have absolutely no idea how much work goes into launching any business. Well, try launching a dozen of them at roughly the same time. Now, before somebody emails me and says, Peter, that's insane. Why would anybody do that? I know. I've heard it 1,000 times a week, mainly from my wife of 32 years, because she says, why does it have to be so big? Why don't you just do one thing? Pick a business, focus, forget about all the other stuff. And occasionally I hear, forget about it. Okay, this is never going to happen. Well, maybe they're all right. But I don't think so. And there's a reason I keep building it the way I'm building it. Because despite all the different logos and all the different companies, in my mind, I'm already living it. I've already been there, mentally, physically, in color. I've already walked through every business, every location, every corporate center in my mind. I can see it clearly. It's like going back to the future. It's really kind of a unique way of expressing the creativity. Now I'm back here trying to figure out how to get back there. Okay, it's an integration and evolving ecosystem. That's what we're building. Now, the challenge is that ecosystems have a lot of pieces. And every time you change one piece, three other pieces need to be adjusted. You create a company, Then a new logo, or you change your logo, you need to reposition it, build it, a web page, or worse, even an entire website. You need to declare, you know, what it's for, who's going to own it. You got to decide who's going to operate it. You need to understand how it fits into the hierarchy of the various other companies and operations and jurisdictions. So, you know, then 6 weeks after you get all that done, you say, wow, there's a better way of doing this. That doesn't belong here anymore. Or, you know, you move it, and now you got to change everything again. Well, welcome to entrepreneurship. That's what it is. I've been thinking about this for a long time, actually, but maybe entrepreneurial ideas are much like a good wine. Sometimes they need time to age. They need time to breathe, need refinement. And sometimes you have to, just leave them alone and let them do their thing, you know, and discover that what they're really all about and the flavors and whatever have to mature. And just like a business, you have to give it some time to discover exactly how it really is going to work and what it's supposed to become. That's what has been happening here a lot. Yes, our launch has taken much longer than I originally anticipated, no question about it. We've recognized ventures, however, and we've changed names, and we organize stuff, and we've changed logos and names and models, but we've also discarded some concepts entirely and introduced new ones. That's not failure. That's building. That's entrepreneurship in action. Starts with a vision, but then the reality starts to set in, and you start questioning things like, does this work? Does that belong? Can these businesses support one another? Does the customer understand it, or will he or she? Can we make it simpler? Can we make it better? Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is no. And sometimes the answer is, we just found a much better way to do the same thing. I don't believe an entrepreneur should fall in love with an idea simply because he invented it. You have to fall in love with the mission, with the objective. That's really where it's at. The mechanism, the business model, the logo, the name, the organizational chart, those things are tools. If you find a better tool, use it. Good wine doesn't come or doesn't become good wine when somebody's yelling at the bottle, you know, to hurry up. Because you have to give it time to become what it was meant to be. Over the last several weeks alone, I've given, you know, this model a complete overhaul, so to speak. I've gone through over 80 pages of website text. I've been correcting copy, updating artwork, replacing old logos, changing some of the company names again, moving pages, hiding pages, changing links, you know, reorganizing the navigation. I've been separating the information that somebody should, you know, see publicly versus more privately through our, you know, hidden Agentis Club member environment, which again I'll explain in a minute. What kind of work is it? Well, it's not glamorous. Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, wow, Petey fixed another navigation link. Hooray, what progress. Nobody says that. But if you don't do it, the visitor gets lost. And if the visitor gets lost, it doesn't matter how good the vision is. People disappear, and they don't like to come back because they think it's completely, you know, chaos and confusing. The website itself has also forced us to clarify the business. When you have to explain a model in plain English, you often discover where the model itself isn't clear. So the website corrections have more than just a purpose of fixing typos. They've helped us refine the underlying architecture. You know, I developed it, or basically I have to fully update it by the end of this month, because that's my goal. I hope to make it. Of course, I've said that many times. But we're now going through page by page, you know, and updating and moving and making sure that the overall story and the architecture is the way it is in today's reality. One of the most important things we've done this week, of course, is create the free Agentis Club. That may sound like a small change, But strategically, it's important. We have accumulated so much content, so many projects under one umbrella, and so many different ways for people to participate that we needed a better way to organize everything on the website. So we're beginning to separate the public story from the deeper participation experience. The public website can introduce you to who we are and what we're building. Then if you're interested, you can join the Agentis Club for free with an email address and go deeper. It costs nothing to join and to explore. So you get to learn more about the projects, follow our progress, set up, see what interests you. And over time, the size of that initial membership community begins and actually becomes more important because it becomes part of the proof of concept. The more people who join us, the more powerful the proof becomes, because proof of concept shows us that if people are curious and people join our club and they explore and they see the value and they share those findings, then eventually the proof becomes that some of the people will participate financially and maybe they'll plant a seed or, you know, a book or buy a hat. Maybe they'll become part of the 2034 Executive Producers Club, which you'll learn about shortly. Maybe you'll become a part of the Club Zero membership, and then maybe a partner affiliate. Maybe they'll become employees, future investors, or maybe even suppliers. The point is that we need to articulate everything we can the best we can, but trust me, there'll be plenty of mistakes. Or maybe they'll simply just tell somebody, hey, I'm part of this whole Club Zero thing. Take a look at it. It's really cool. A lot of maybes, I know, but, that's how it begins, one person at a time. All right, so another major area of work over the last 3 months has centered kind of around my 2034 Agentic Leadership, The End of Human Politicians, my book. Yes, I know what you're thinking. With an upcoming election and the timing for this book might be perfect, but don't get me started on politics because I dislike both parties, okay, for many reasons. What started as a futuristic book and a broader idea as I was developing the Agentis interactive platform, I created this AI-driven future vision of what AI would look like in the future, because there's so much fear out there. And I didn't want the, I wanted to overcome the fear. I didn't want people to think that, you know, their job is going to be at jeopardy, which of course we know jobs will be gone, but there's also a great opportunity in the future. So I wanted to create a kind of a positive version of the future. But I started imagining, what if our governments could be run by AI-assisted, you know, humanoids, so to speak, robots? And quite frankly, that opened up a lot of thinking. And as I started writing the storyline and creating some little synopsis documents to kind of outline the story and the narrative, I started getting some calls from people who are producers of TV and show, and they all wanted to come in and, you know, buy in and whatever. But see, I'm not interested in that, because this is not going to be one of those type of Hollywood productions. So anyway, long story short here is, what we're now envisioning, not just the book, but four feature films based on the book, and then a follow-up series beyond the films, that we've developed a framework that could support up to 7 seasons of 7 episodes in a storytelling kind of format. Okay, now people might hear 7 seasons and think, there he goes again. Why always 7? Well, you know why. But why not make one movie and see what happens? Fair question. I agree. Everybody asks me the same thing. But there's logic behind 7. A single movie can introduce an idea. A single movie can expand it. But a continuing series gives you something fundamentally different. It gives you time. Time to develop characters, you know, future develop ideas, to explore consequences, because they're obviously going to change in real time. It gives you time to let the fictional future evolve in the present. It's not Star Wars meets Terminator, but it's important our larger ecosystem is integrated directly into the story narrative. It provides us time to build an audience relationship rather than one-time transaction. Okay, so 7 episodes is substantial enough to create a season-long narrative, obviously, but compact enough that we're not having to try to manufacture 20 or 24 episodes every year simply because of old television financial economics demand it. And the 7 seasons gives us the ability, if the audience supports it, to develop a long narrative that's, you know, again, keeping in mind, I call the series, you know, 2034, Life Beyond the Algorithm, which is an important title to understand. So anyway, the bottom line is, you know, you don't need to build dead-end roads. And you need to build a road and then earn the right to keep traveling down it. That's another part of the whole 2034 collection that I haven't really talked about much, because these are not intended to be big-budget Hollywood productions or an animated film or a series type of production. Our objective is to produce them using what we call advanced generative AI and traditional production tools to create photorealistic, real-world cinematic experiences. You know, we've all heard about the guy that produced a movie on his Macintosh and completely, you know, and you can't even tell it's not a production. Because today, already, technology exists where you can produce an entire movie on your laptop. And we're going to kind of push that envelope a little further. But even better, we're going to be able to basically integrate the Aquarium Plaza Corporate Centers and all of the Agentis Moloch. Agentis is featured in the center of the film, kind of like the friendly version of Skynet, if you know what that is. I'm dating myself here again, but, you know, we're the company that's going to design the system of the future that changes the future in a very positive way, incorporating artificial intelligence and the real human experience. Lots of jobs, but working together with humanoids and the artificial intelligence for a much better, less corrupt, less fraudulent future, primarily in government. And I want you to feel like you're looking through a window into the future. And of course, that also is part of the APVG Club Zero environment, because you're going to be able to walk right through one of our hotels and right through one of our vertical farms. All of these things that we're planning to do, well before we even build them, you'll be able to see through this AI-generated film and series production. Going to be really kind of cool to see it. I don't know if we can pull it off, but we're going to definitely try. So the goal is cinematic, photorealistic storytelling designed to look and feel real. And frankly, I think by the time we're producing some of the later films and series, the technology we're using will be dramatically more capable than even what we can think of today. Okay, so another major development over the last couple months has been PAPA. No, not me. The People's Agentic Political Alliance. And I want to be clear about what PAPA, P-A-P-A, is the, you know, in the proper context. PAPA was developed as part of the 2034 narrative and story world. It fits into the political and social environment storyline that we're trying to, you know, I guess, design within the various 2034 book and series, exploring through the upcoming film and the series as we move forward. Agentis itself will be featured within the 2034 world too. As I said earlier, they are the AI system developer, like I said, the friendly version of Skynet. And that's an important connection. Instead of Agentis simply advertising in or around a movie, we're developing a fictional narrative environment in which some of the ideas we're actually working on can become part of the story narrative. That's a very different approach. And I think kind of a cool approach, too. Of course, you have to be creative enough to see the vision long term. Now, the obvious question is, who's going to pay for all of this, right? I mean, feature films cost money. Series production costs money. Writers cost money. Production crews cost money. Production, post-production cost money. Distribution cost money. Everything costs money. So among other funding programs, we've also developed some sponsorship architecture around the 2034 collection. And again, all this stuff takes such time to develop, but we've pretty much got it articulated now. Our 2034 Executive Producers Club model alone can raise $250,000 towards helping us fund the production. That 100 executive producer opportunity for $2,500 each is a very limited, unique producer community, if you will. So, you know, anybody can become an executive producer and attach their name into this entire, you know, production collection. The 2034 Executive Producers Club concept is a unique new community that'll have an annual cruise, a luxury cruise, that they can meet the developers of the storyline and contribute their own ideas to the narrative and the story and you know, become an active part of not only the first, second, third, and fourth film, but also how we take it into the Beyond the Algorithm series. Anyway, the objective is the same as much of what I'm doing elsewhere, is we can fund meaningful portions of the development from the people and organizations from the grassroots ground up level. Because, you know, I don't want to surrender equity and control for outside capital. We're on a mission here to integrate stuff. And the problem is once you get large venture capital or, you know, production companies involved, they have their own way of doing things the old way. And because they give you the money, they want to control the direction. We have a different attitude. We're going to build this because collectively it all integrates together. And of course, venture capital companies don't even like that whole total integration strategy. They would rather have control and you focus on one thing. Well, I'm way beyond that. All right, so anyway, the same philosophy basically of self-funding is part of our Plant Your Seed campaign. You're probably, I don't know, we've done a lot of considerable work, I should say, refining all of the internal crowdfunding programs. The idea is simple. Not everybody can write a check to become a producer. Not everybody wants to become a producer. But at the same time, you know, maybe I like what we're trying to build here. Maybe you like to help out. Plant Your Seed gives them a way that they can participate. And, of course, we can always use the money because we're talking about burning, you know, literally millions of dollars here over the next several months. By the time we get our offices, build our welcome centers, do all the things we're trying to do, it's going to take a lot of money. And traditional financing, once we build one or two and then we have proof of concept and physically built a welcome center, then getting bank financing and all of those type of things will be a lot easier. But getting over the initial hump, we need to have the self-funded energy and support. And the grassroots effort not only provides us with the capital, but also provides us with the proof of concept and shows the bankers and the venture capitalists that there's interest here and that this could grow and scale. And that's important. And of course, when that happens, we get more money for less equity. And that's important too, because my goal is to make sure that the equity and the benefits consistently will translate into value for our members. And you'll see all that on the website. I don't need to go through all that. Now, I want to be clear. We are self-funded, not here because, you know, we need to be, but because we really want to be. We want to be able to control and do what we want to do and what we're trying to outline here. Because I've been approached by several capital groups, private investors, and I'm talking to a couple of them already. I'm not opposed to institutional capital at all, under the right terms and at the right time. There may be absolutely, I don't know, a time when we're going to need a lot of capital. I mean, my Aquarium Plaza Corporate Center and Technology Hubs are going to cost literally $300-400 million apiece. We could self-fund it if we get to 5 million paid members. But to get the project started, we'll need to have construction loans. And of course, my goal, insane as it is to build all four of them relatively at the same time. We'll start in Las Vegas and hopefully get it finished. But even before it's finished, we'll hopefully be building in Newport and maybe in Miami and maybe on the island of Maui. Because the goal is I want to have these buildings well underway by 2030. Hopefully Vegas open before then, perhaps Newport or maybe even Miami open by then. We'll see. It's not going to happen overnight. Nothing ever does happen overnight. It takes time, lots of planning. I've done all the preliminary work. I've identified the locations. I found some of the parcels I want to go after. I've got the design concepts pretty much articulated. I have the continuity. I have the various food and beverage groups and all the various features that will be integrated into each one of these. And now I'm out there looking for the design teams. And we have several of those already chosen. You know, a lot of the work that's taken place over the last couple of years has been research and checking out the companies that might be best suited to do the design of all four corporate centers and so forth and so on. All right. So anyway, you know, I keep coming back to this whole power of the people. I don't mean that as some political slogan. I mean it as basic economics, okay? Imagine one person joins the Gentis Club today for free. Nothing dramatic is going to happen with that. Now imagine 100 join, then 1,000, then 10,000. And imagine those people all sharing the ideas of what we're building and what we're trying to accomplish here. You know, plant a seed. Maybe they'll buy a hat. Maybe they'll become an executive producer. The point is, by bringing people together, we believe we can actually make everything that we've outlined here happen. Now, you know, we need enough people to do something. That's just the model. I mean, you don't have to, you know, necessarily have everybody do everything. We just need enough people to do something. That's the model. That's why membership matters so much. And Club Zero, our primary client, of course, all part of the same ownership group, but Club Zero Rewards is the Agentis primary client. And we've elected to put most of this information on the Agentis site to outline the clients because it is all commonly owned at this point. So Club Zero is completely committed with a very extraordinarily ambitious plan of getting 5 million paid Club Zero members by 2028 and then going public on NASDAQ hopefully by mid-29. Keeping in mind that if we were to get 5 million people that pays an average of $50 a month, you know, we're looking at a $3 billion plus dollar a year cash flow from membership dues. And keep in mind, if your membership can then return, you know, 3, 4, 5 times the value of your membership costs in travel savings and unique opportunities by us recirculating the membership fees, and that doesn't even count the income from Reef Shark Apparel and the food and beverage group and all the other things that we're doing. So we have a $10 billion potential company by 2030, and now our members can become shareholders and participate in a dividend-paying environment. That's the overall big-picture architecture. That's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take some time, but it can happen. It can happen if we all come together and make it happen. And that's kind of where we're at today. We're now kind of like in the delivery room of this new brand, and you're here. So you're listening to this today, and now the question is, what are you going to do? But anyway, you're going to join us? Join for free. That's where we start. Now, we're getting ready to kind of soft launch here in the next couple of weeks, but that's an important part of what we're doing, you know, because for months, most of the activity has been around design and redesign and development and writing and proofing, and, you know, that's ongoing nevertheless. We've tested concepts. We've reorganized stuff. You know, we've looked at branding differently in certain areas. We've moved some of the pieces of the puzzle to under other different companies. There's been a lot of change. But you know what? It's okay. Change is the only constant in life. You have to constantly change. You have to be a river. You don't want to dam yourself up and get stagnant and, you know, no. You have to be a river. You got to keep flowing, keep moving, keep the ideas and everything moving forward, not stagnate. Now, we're preparing to soft launch the systems, but, you know, soft launch means you come in, you try it, tell us what you like, don't like, tell us what works, tell us what doesn't work, help us find the cracks, and then hopefully help us improve the overall experience. That's where the Agentis Club becomes particularly valuable initially. We can begin finding out exactly what your feelings are, your feedback is, your price points are. Do you like cruising? We have a cruise server we're developing now to find out if you would go on a luxury cruise, would you go on an extended cruise, would you attend a cruise convention or conference or meeting? We need to understand that so we can plan accordingly. And there'll be other surveys like that that we ask you to take, and we'll reward you with whatever we can, you know, reward you with as we move through the process. Now, people who look at Club Zero or Agentis and say, I understand this, I know people who would enjoy this, I have an audience, I have a community, if you're an influencer, I'd like to help introduce people and get involved. Well, that's what we're looking for. You know, we're looking for, you know, that category of partners, social media influencer, content providers, and community builders, because we're trying to bring it all together. Now, those relationships can become enormously important in the early stages and profitable individually through our partner affiliate program, because I don't believe the way, you know, we should build this is through spending millions of dollars advertising and streaming and, you know, direct mail. I believe in the affiliate partnership program, not multi-level marketing. There's no multiple pay lines. Very simple. Invite people to the club with a coded link on your social platforms. And when they click through to join for free and explore what they, you know, they see, if they become a paying member, great. If they don't, that's fine too. Same thing with you. If you become a paying member and you join the affiliate program as a paying member, then you have the potential of earning some revenue for sharing and inviting others to the platform. That's the Club Zero affiliate program. Very cool, very beneficial if you have a large base of members on your YouTube channel or social media platforms, wherever. We're not going to allow spamming or, you know, email crap or text spamming. You know, nobody wants that. It's got to be done correctly. And we're going to monitor that. Or you lose your membership and you lose all your money. So anyway, we got some rules and some terms and some things that we want to basically make happen. Now, I don't want this podcast to become one of those entrepreneurial fairy tales where the founder looks backward and makes every, you know, setback sound like it's part of some brilliant master plan. But it hasn't been easy getting here. There have been many disappointments. There have been, I don't know, countless delays, untold hardships, and unbelievable life situations. COVID is one of those over the years, of course. You know, it ruined millions of businesses and killed millions of people. And we've come to learn that that was all just another government fraud, sadly. But nonetheless, it is what it is. And we had to live through it. And we survived it for the most part. It did cause a lot of delays. People who didn't understand what I was doing, of course, probably thought I was nuts. There have been many moments in my life that I've looked at the amount of work still ahead of me and asked myself, what the hell have I gotten myself into? So that's real. And on the road ahead, I don't expect that many of those situations are going to be any smoother. In fact, the road ahead may sometimes look like the aftermath of a hurricane. You know, trees are down, signs are gone, water's everywhere, debris on the road. You don't really, you know where you're going, but you can't drive there in a straight line. So what do? You find another road. You move something out of the way. You help somebody else get something out of the way. Somebody helps you. You turn around. You try another route. You keep moving. Eventually, the road opens, things get rebuilt, and sometimes what gets rebuilt is actually stronger than what was there before, and that includes you as a person. That's entrepreneurship. That's what we're doing. And I expect some storms and more mistakes and more change. And I expect somebody listening to this episode a year from now will probably hear me, mention something that hasn't evolved the way we initially thought. And that's fine. That's the journey. Welcome to my world. I also want to talk about something that's personal to me. Many have lost faith in America, understandably so, under the current state of affairs on a global scale. You know, wars, inflation, and the thought of starting a business today seems almost difficult at best. People are frustrated. They don't trust institutions, don't trust government. They don't trust corporations or the mainstream media. People increasingly don't know whether the person they're talking to online is even a real person. The world is changing very rapidly before us. However, I still believe in the American dream. I know that's easy to dismiss today, but I still believe that this country provides extraordinary opportunities to build, to invent, to fail, to start again, to create something, to own something, to employ something, to turn an idea into a business. And I don't believe there is an expiration date that, like me, as a senior entrepreneur, I'm absolutely opposed to the idea that when you reach a certain age, society should politely escort you to the pasture and tell you, thanks very much, you're no longer needed, you know, so bugger off. Forget about it. I'm not going anywhere but up and forward. Why would I? I wouldn't give up. I haven't given up in 21 years. I have more experience today than I had 5 years ago, or even 30 years ago. So the point is, life experiences creates a knowledge base of experience that, you know, if you've survived the failures that I have and met the people and seen more business cycles than most people even know about, I've learned that enthusiasm, you know, can be both good and bad, what it can accomplish and what it can't accomplish. I've learned to recognize nonsense a little faster today than ever before, and that's valuable. And maybe one of the greatest wastes in our economy is the amount of experience we allow to walk out the door simply because someone crossed an arbitrary age, you know, like 65, and you should retire and move on. Leave it to the young people. No, you know, being the Senior Entrepreneurs of America, SEAC, founder, my new affinity group in Club Zero, to understand pretty well that if you're an older guy like me, and I'm 71, if you're like me and you have good idea or any idea, build it. If you've got something left to contribute it. If you've got something to share it. That's why the whole C Affinity group, we'll do a cruise for senior entrepreneurs, and there'll be speakers, and we'll, you know, live stream it to the younger crowd, but we'll have senior entrepreneurs talk about their experiences, their businesses, what worked, what didn't work. Of course, keep in mind, a lot of the stuff that we did 10, 15, 20 years ago is outdated. It no longer works. We're in a new era, so we have to blend in the artificial intelligence, the modern way of doing things. And we will. And that brings me to AI, because there's a lot of people and a lot of anxiety around this technology. Some of that anxiety is justified. AI is going to change and ultimately eliminate jobs without question. Everybody knows that. Anybody ever, by the way, remember Blockbuster Video? Remember how great it was? It was the next coming of, you know, entertainment, and of course they went out of business, and it cost thousands and thousands of jobs. And then of course you had Redbox, and you had CDs, and then of course streaming, Netflix wiped everybody out of that. So, you know, technology evolves, and there are cycles, and people come in and they go out of certain cycles, and now we're in a new cycle. AI is that cycle. Now, will it eliminate jobs? Of course. All new technologies eliminate jobs. And, you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing. However, we do have to stay on top of it and monitor that our governments don't turn it into the Terminator, so to speak. Okay? We have to be vigilant. And the way we do that is work together to make sure we set the pace, which is why I formed the People's Alliance, the People's Agentic Political Alliance, so that we have a voice that helps steer. And if we can get to 5 million members, or if everybody in the Club Zero joins it, we'll be able to become a lobby group that helps dictate the terms of how agentic technologies are integrated into everyday life. And that's kind of what that was about. Now, I don't want to be political. It's not really what it's about. It's not a nonprofit. It's a part of the 2034, you know, entertainment fiction storyline. But it does have that potential to become a lobby group indirectly. And so we're going to look at hopefully developing that. But, you know, we're still going to have people that are going to want to meet and get together. You know, people are still going to want to go to restaurants and go on cruises, and they're still going to want to play golf and, you know, go to conferences and, you know, sit down and eat in bars, and you know, they're still going to want to see somebody else across the table or a real person smile and say, welcome, we're glad you're here. And that's what Club Zero and the travel cafes are all about. Now, it doesn't eliminate humanity. I mean, AI doesn't eliminate humanity. At least it shouldn't. I mean, what AI should do is remove friction, make businesses more productive, help people make better decisions, improve safety, automate repetitive work. You know, when I look at AI in the context of what I'm doing here, I see the amount of time that I've saved. If I wanted to see how many 55 and older, you know, members live in a certain geographic area, I would have to spend literally at least several days going to libraries, reading magazine articles, searching out reports and all that stuff. I can put that into my chat GPT and, you know, put a prompt in there asking exactly what I want. Of course, the prompt is, the more information you put in the prompt, the better the result will be. And within a matter of 1 minute or less, I have all the demographics by zip code across multiple age groups at my fingertips. And of course, that saves me a tremendous amount of time and allows a business to move forward faster. Now take that by a scale of 10 to 1, and you'll see that what's happened over the last 5-6 months, even with my project, has created all these other branches of the tree that actually will make the overall club better, easier to manage, and to bring to the market. So it's all good. AI is not necessarily bad. It's not our enemy. It just needs to be managed properly. And Agentis Interactive will become kind of like that centralized brain of the whole ecosystem. And it'll make sure everything's working all the time for all of our different companies. That's the plan. And, of course, I want Agentis as its intelligent business systems operating alongside businesses that create real human jobs, thousands of them, in fact. I mean, if this plan builds out, I'm projecting literally well over 3,000 jobs collectively within the four corporate centers and all the restaurants and all the things we're doing in a matter of a couple of, let's say, 5 years. Okay, my goal is to have it all built out by 2030. And chances are we might be 70%, maybe 80% of all of that by then. But who knows? Okay, it could happen faster if the money flows and we have the support and the government doesn't collapse and we don't have world war. You know, there's all kinds of other issues out there that can derail us again, like COVID did. We just can't let it happen. We have to be smarter. You know, but we're going to have thousands of jobs, hospitality jobs, travel jobs, food jobs, construction jobs, manufacturing jobs, media jobs, environmental jobs. You know, we're going to be having agrivoltaic, you know, vertical farming jobs, sales jobs, service jobs, management. I mean, we're talking about building an entire jobs factory here. So that's important, especially here in Vegas, where we have casinos laying off people, and we got a lot of workforce, and we need to diversify away from gaming, even though we'll be actively pursuing casinos for lodging opportunities for our members. You know, so everything kind of works together. That's what a community does. And you may also notice that travel keeps appearing throughout our entire model. And that's not an accident, because travel may become more valuable in an AI-driven world, not less. Because the more time people spend interacting digitally, the more meaningful, authentic physical experiences will actually become. A beautiful luxury cruise ship, a great dinner, another tropical island destination resort, a conversation, a sunset, and group of people laughing around a table. You can't download that. You have to be there. And, of course, we plan to be there. So that's the plan. Now, again, we're not sure we're going to get all of that done. But, you know, one of the things about Club Zero increasingly is that travel and experiential opportunities becomes the center of gravity for the Club Zero Rewards platform. We can use AI behind the scenes, use technology to personalize. We can use intelligent business systems to operate, use data to improve our operations. But what the member ultimately experiences can still be profoundly human. Technology underneath, humanity on the top, maybe a few humanoids mixed in for fun. But I really like that model, and I think you will too. And I want to say something directly to the people who are curious but skeptical. You don't have to believe in all my crazy ideas or everything that I'm building here. I'm not sure even I believe every single piece that I have outlined will succeed the way I see it. But that's not the standard. You don't need to look at 80 pages of projects and say every one of these will happen exactly as described. Of course they won't. The question is there enough here worth pursuing? And I believe it is. I mean, there is certainly enough going on. And if you're interested, join us. The Agentis Club is free, so you can explore, read, watch, learn, follow along. If you find something you want to support, support it. Plant a seed, buy a book, buy a hat. Become an executive producer, support one of our projects, introduce us to somebody, share a page, invite a friend, or do none of the things and just watch us. Either way, thank you, and we appreciate everything. That's okay if you don't get involved right away, because I believe over time, the work itself will earn your confidence. Not my words, not a logo, not a company, not a podcast. It'll be execution that leads you to joining as a paid member. Hopefully, our founding members will join before we actually launch the club right now targeted for January. But we're going to launch the Founders Club in September. 100,000 positions, and trust me, they're the cream of the crop out of the 5 million member pool. We're not going over 100,000. It's done by design. There's a logic behind it. And if you become lucky enough to be one, you'll maximize the benefit of this overall platform once it develops for coming in early. Now, I want to build something where people can come inside and say, where do I fit in? What can I contribute? What can I help build? What can I experience once it's built? Who can I meet? Where can I travel? What opportunity can I pursue? What savings do I really generate by being a member? That's much more interesting. And I think we'll show examples and we'll show how it works. And keep in mind that it's fluid and things will always change. This is the way it is. So when somebody asks, why haven't you launched yet? My answer today is different than it would have been 6 months ago. 6 months ago, I probably would have apologized. Today, I think some of the delay was necessary. We simply weren't ready. parts of the model hadn't fully aged yet. The Agentus Club didn't exist. The 2034 collection wasn't fully developed. The pop-up program hadn't been integrated the way it is today. The sponsorship architects wasn't there. The executive producer concept wasn't there. Plant Your Seed wasn't developed to its current form. The website wasn't organized properly. Some of the companies weren't organized properly, but some of the names and artwork weren't right either. Some of the relationships between projects weren't right. So what exactly would we have launched? Probably a big mistake. Something unfinished, simply because a date on a calendar said we should. No, that's not the way I operate. I'd rather be late and better. Not forever, mind you. At some point, we do have to hit go, and that's the point we're approaching now. But refinement before launch isn't necessarily procrastination. Sometimes it's preparation. Over the next phase, we're going to start opening the door slowly. We're going to continue refining Agentus Club. We're going to continue to update the website. We're going to continue bringing people in and looking for the right talent. We're going to look for influencers and partners who understand what doing, you know, or what we're planning to do, basically, and who may want to help grow the community. We're going to continue developing our self-funding programs. We're going to continue preparing Club Zero for launch. We're going to continue developing the 2034 films and series. We're going to continue working on the businesses that support the ecosystem. And we're going to listen. That's important. We're going to listen to our Agentus Club members whenever it makes sense. Okay? Don't waste our time. We won't waste yours. Because once real people begin moving through the system, we're going to reach, or basically teach. I mean, I guess the way I should say it is, the Agentus Club members will teach us things we can't learn sitting in front of a computer. I mean, they're going to click on the wrong thing. They're going to misunderstand something that I thought was obvious, but they're going to love something that I thought was minor. I mean, there'll be the yin, the yang, the pro, the con. There's going to be an ongoing, you know, point of view and opinion. Not everybody's going to agree with mine, and that's perfectly fine. Everybody has a right to their opinion. Now, doesn't mean we're going to take it and change everything, but if we, on the aggregate, take the ideas that our people share with us, then obviously, if it makes sense, we're going to incorporate them. And that's just smart business. Okay, so let's finish today. Kind of where I started. Some things need time to age, let's face it. Maybe this project has needed that time. Maybe I've needed that time. You know, I've been working 24/7, it seems like. Maybe the vision we're preparing to soft launch is stronger precisely because it isn't the same vision. I would have launched a year ago if I could have, and maybe that's the real lesson. I didn't do it by design. Don't confuse change with failure. Don't confuse refinement with weakness, or confuse a delay with defeat. And don't ever let anybody ever, or anybody else's timeline determine whether your dream is still worth pursuing. I live by a golden rule. Never let other people's perception of you or your project become your reality. And I stick to it. I believe my best days are ahead of me and ahead for this project as well. And I believe that if enough people decide to join us, if enough people plant a seed, support a project, buy a hat, become a member, a partner, share their story, contribute their talent, or simply help us move one more obstacle out of the road, we can build something meaningful. That's what it's all about. Sure, the money is great. But the money helps build the meaningful project that we're building. And something that reminds us kind of that the craziest ideas aren't crazy because they're impossible. They just haven't had enough time to age. So that's where we are. I mean, that's where we're at today. We're refining, we're organizing, preparing, and building the initial community. And now we're getting ready to open the doors. So join the Agentives Club for free, costs nothing. Come explore what we're building. If you like where, you know, what you see or what you read, tell somebody about it. Share the site. If you find something worth supporting, please support it. If you're an entrepreneur, creator, influencer, technologist, business developer, or systems engineer, somebody who simply wants to participate in something different and get involved, let us know. Because the next chapter is where we will start getting really exciting and interesting. And to everybody who has followed and supported me through the delays, the changes, the new logos, the abandoned ideas, the revised websites, the many new ventures, and more than a few rough moments throughout the years when you probably wondered whether or not, you know, my brain had kind of, you know, exploded and wondered what the hell I was doing, thank you. Sometimes I wonder too, but I still am here. I'm still moving forward, still building, and together we can do great things. I'm Peter, the Angelpreneur Ortman, and this is the Agentis Pulse podcast. And I thank you for tuning in today. So we will talk again soon. Reef Shark Productions.